It's quite strange to tell people that, because I tell them here, oh, I voted for the President of the United States of America. People are like, wow. And I'm like, wow. Like, it's a big deal. So it's kind of strange, but yeah, I definitely understand. And then it's also cool. We have a visitor from New York. Joe is here, and he sent me an email. He sent me an email and got in touch with me. And it's cool because he's from New York and he's a Yankee fan just like me. So that's awesome. And so he's just here visiting for London for like 5 or 6 days, but he's here tonight. So that was kind of cool. It's nice to have a little bit of home and just be able to talk to somebody. I'm sure he probably didn't think he was coming to hear someone from the U.S. speak or talk tonight, but amen. So, but we have been going through the book of Deuteronomy, and, you know, Charles Elihu, David's dad, if you guys didn't know that, he preached on a great lesson on holiness the other night, and or the other day, and he did a great, great job just talking about holiness, and it's been really, really good to get in the book of Deuteronomy. Tonight we're actually going to talk about Moses, and it has been so cool to study out Moses. He's a great, great example for many of us, but let's go ahead and turn, not to Deuteronomy, but to Psalm 106, and we're going to read Psalm 106 here for a little bit. Daniel, you'll get over your coat. You'll be all right. Yeah, no problem. It took me like a week. You'll be fine.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it was like a week. Still have it a little bit. But, so Psalm 106, starting in verse 16. It says, "In the camp, they grew envious of Moses and of Aaron, who was consecrated to the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan. It buried the company of Abiram. Fire blazed among their followers. A flame consumed the wicked. At Horeb, they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glory for an image of a bull which eats grass. They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. So he said he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them." So talking about Moses today, you know, Moses is a man who stood in the breach. You know, I've been studying out Moses, and I've just been learning more and more just about what kind of man he was. And Moses is actually, he's mentioned a lot in the New Testament. He's mentioned a ton. You know, he's actually one that visits Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And, you know, he comes down in his glorious splendor on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's pretty cool. Glorious splendor, you know. He's the one that's spoken of by Stephen to convict the Jews of their resistance of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, right before Stephen is martyred, you know. And he's Even when Jesus heals a blind man, and the blind man explains how he was healed to the Pharisees call the blind man, or the Pharisees call themselves a disciple of Moses. And this is all things in the New Testament. You know, Moses is mentioned in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith, you know. And why is he mentioned in the Hall of Faith? Well, he's mentioned for his faith. Of course, he's mentioned for his faith. And, you know, that chapter is 40 verses. And 7 of those 40 verses talk about Moses. So Moses, you know, Moses has one less verse mentioned about him in that chapter than Abraham. And Abraham is the father of faith. And so Moses, man, just one verse less in that great chapter that we all love that inspires us so much. You know, so at the end of Hebrews 11, it says that God had planned something better, and that something better is Jesus. So Moses, man, he was a man of great faith. You know, he was a man that did many great things. So the more I study out Moses, the more I'm really impacted by him. And the more I actually see how much he had a great impact on so many. And you could easily kind of debate that. You know what? Moses might actually be the most... He might be the man that impacted more than anyone else before Jesus. You could argue that. But Moses had a big impact on having faith in our and just an invisible Almighty God. He had such an impact. And so today, as we continue to study out the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to study out Moses, who, if you haven't figured out by now, is mentioned a lot in the book of Deuteronomy, which I think you probably knew that, but he's a very key character in the book of Deuteronomy. So I read Psalm 106 to you earlier, and the psalmist, he focuses on this key characteristic of Moses, and that being that a man that stood in the breach. You know, so a man or woman standing in the breach, you know, what is a breach? A breach is a gap, or it's a gap in the wall, a gap in the barrier, maybe it's a gap in the defense, you know, not talking about sports defense, but I'm talking about war defense, you know, and he was a man that stood in the gap. And that's what Moses did. He wasn't lounging around, he wasn't leaning, he wasn't in his recliner on his lazy boy. He was standing in the gap. I love that term, that term of standing in the gap. Moses was standing. And so tonight, we're going to look at Moses, and there's some key characteristics that helped Moses be that man that stood in the gap, because he was a chosen one by God. And he filled a void that was lacking, and he filled that void. What was lacking? There was godliness lacking. And so Moses filled that void, and so he was kind of that connection between God and Israel. And he was that connection so that Israel wouldn't be lost, because he is willing to stand in the gap. So bear in mind, the only reason this connection between Israel and God happened is because of Moses. If it wasn't for Moses, Israel would have been lost. And so it's because of Moses that Israel is not lost, because he's able to stand in the gap. Because think about Psalm 106, it says that he stood in the gap so they wouldn't be destroyed. Right? And so Moses is a great man. And so what does it take to stand in the breach for God's people? What does it take? And so my first point is, it takes surrender. It takes surrender. So let's go to Deuteronomy 3, where we actually are going to read Deuteronomy, because that's what we are studying now. So Deuteronomy 3, and it's just really cool to think about Moses, and to think about how important and how instrumental he was for Israel, which at this time, 40 years in the desert. Remember in chapter 1 of Deuteronomy, it's 40 years, 11 months, and the first day. There's over 600,000 people of Israel at this point. 600,000. And he was able to stand in the gap and stand in the breach and really help Israel get to where God wanted them to be. That's amazing. One man did all that. So starting in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23. We'll go ahead and read from there. At that time I pleaded with the Lord. This is Moses speaking. O sovereign Lord, you have begun to show to your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and mighty works you do? Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that fine hill country in Lebanon. But because of you, the Lord was angry with me. I would not listen to me. That is enough, the Lord said. Do not speak to me any more about this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes, since you are not going to cross this Jordan. But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. So we stayed in the valley near Beth Peor. And so, yeah, my first point is surrender. Man, Moses he had a great heart of surrender, you know. At this time, how old is Moses? He's 120 years old. Moses is old. He's an old dude in this passage that we just read. How old was he when he was called by God to go to Pharaoh and address Pharaoh and confront Pharaoh and try and get the Jews out of Egypt? How old was he then? He was 80. Yeah. So he was 80 years old when Aaron and him went to address Pharaoh about letting Israel go. So, yeah, the first 80 years of Moses' life, he spent under the reign of Pharaoh, growing up actually in the house of Pharaoh, you know, being a part of the royal family. You know, he decided, you know what, I don't want this. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go shepherd. I'm going to go shepherd some sheep. I'm going to be a sheep herder. I'm going to go to Midian. And so that's what Moses did. And that was very, very general, his first 80 years. So at 80 years old, what happens? Moses, he starts a revolution. He starts a revolt. of the country he grew up in, and the only country he ever knew, God calls him, you know what, you're going to go against this country, you're going to go against who you think are your people, and you're going to support Israel, who are actually your people, and you're going to take them out of Egypt. So not only was it his country, but it was a country he was raised up in, and he was going against those who led it. You know, so in Deuteronomy 3, we're 40 years later, so Moses, he's 120 years old now. Moses is showing a heart and a life of surrender. He shows a surrender because even though God is clear, you aren't getting what you desire, Moses stands in the breach for Israel. You know, if we're going to stand in the breach, we need to be brothers and sisters that surrender. Surrender to what? Well, surrender to God's plan. Surrender to God's plan, of course. You know, we clearly see here that Moses was a man of surrender to God's plan, not his plan. Because if you just look a little bit further in Deuteronomy 4:1, what does it say? He says, "Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you." That's what he does. Right after God says, "No, you're not getting it. Don't talk about this anymore." What does he do? He goes and he shares the word of God with them. And he says, he gives them direction. He's not sitting there kind of lounging around going, "Really? Come on." No, Moses starts going, doesn't he? He starts going and he starts doing. He starts giving commands so that Israel will live and possess the promised land. And that's a heart of surrender. Think about Moses. Moses has just been told no, that what he's lived for and wanted for the last 40 years, he won't get. He's just been told no. That the people he has led to see this promise come true for 40 years to this new land, he won't actually lead them. Even though he's led them for 40 years, he won't lead them to that final great victory. He's not going to be the one to do it. But to kind of swallow that and accept that takes some surrender. That takes some kind of gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching surrender to just accept that. It takes a surrender that can only come from God. As you know, Hebrews 11, 26 and 27, this is what it says about Moses. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Because he was looking ahead to his reward, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. That's Hebrews 11, 26 and 27. You know, Moses, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ. Yeah. He looked ahead towards his reward. Moses did what he did because he saw him who is invisible. Moses, you know, does that sound like us? You know, does that sound like us? At least it should sound like us because there's at times where we need to be the ones standing in the breach. We need to be the ones standing in the breach, but the only way we're going to stand in the breach, stand in the gap, is having hearts that are surrendered. So where might this invisible spiritual breach be happening in our lives? Where might that be happening? And I think for Moses, it wasn't happening with his relationships, it wasn't happening with his job, it wasn't happening with his family, but it was happening to him personally, in his life, in his very own life. There was a breach because he was being challenged with not his way, but God's way. And so there's a breach of his heart. His heart has really been hit hard. The 40 years of, man, this is what I'm going to do and I can't wait and this is what's been promised to me and it's going to be awesome. Man, Moses' heart is hit. And not only is it hit, it's a direct hit. It's like a missile. A missile has come and hit his heart, and it's not like a piranha missile, or it's not a bloodhound missile, or a sea slug missile. I don't know. These are actual missiles, military missiles. It's not one of those missiles at all. It's a missile from God and God's word. And it's right, smack dab, target, right in the middle, bullseye, in his heart. You know, so, no, Moses, you ain't getting what you've lived for. You're not getting what you've been doing the last 40 years. It's not going to happen, is what God says. And to show you it's not going to happen, don't even talk about it anymore. It's end of story, enough. It's not going to happen. And, you know, some of us haven't even lived for 40 years. Actually, most of us in this room have not lived for 40 years, okay? And I'm actually included in that category, all right? But here's Moses. He isn't 40 years old. He's not 40 years old. He's 120 years old, and he's being told no, and not to talk about it anymore. What's that sound like? That sounds like a little six-year-old being told no, and stop talking about it. You're not getting that toy. You're not getting that food. You're not getting that drink. You're not getting that candy. It doesn't sound like, that's not the way you treat a 120-year-old person, is it? It's being told no. Stop talking about it. It's over with. So think about this. This is a day of good news for grandparents. Could you imagine telling your grandparents, or even your parents, that's the end of the story. I'm not talking about this. You're not going to bring this up again. You understand that, Mom and Dad? You understand that, Grandma and Grandpa? Could you imagine? Could you imagine saying that? How many 120 years old, how many people are 120 years old hear that? Well, one, there's not that many 120 years olds. But how many actually would hear something like that? You know, but the point being, when God says no, do you quickly surrender and say yes to God? You know, here's this great thing about this is Moses, he's 120 years old, he's being said no, but his surrender is really inspiring. It's really inspiring to me because, you know, many of us, we're younger. We're way younger. I mean, some of us are six times younger than Moses, right? But do we have the same response as him? We should actually have a way, we should for sure have that response being as young as some of us are. But here's a man, talk about an inspiring way of a surrendered heart. That is amazing. So you think being younger, it's easier to have this kind of response like, okay, that's what you say, I'm going to do it. But think about being older. You know, if you were older, would you have this response? The older you get, the more you kind of get stuck in your ways, living out your life the way you want to live it, doing the things you want to do. But not Moses. Not Moses at all. In fact, Moses gets better as he gets older with having a surrendered heart towards God's plan, towards God's way. And so what was Moses like when God first called him to hey, go to Pharaoh, take Israel out of Egypt? How was he at that burning bush in that chapter in Exodus 3 and 4? How was Moses? You know, well, what these are some things Moses says. What should I say if they don't believe me when I go to Pharaoh and when I even go to the Jews? What should I say? What if they don't listen to me? These are things Moses is saying. God tells him, well, say, I am sent me to you. God also says, you know, if that doesn't work, then throw your staff on the ground and it'll turn into a snake and then they should believe you. God says, well, if that doesn't work, put your hand in your jacket and your cloak. Take your hand out. Your hand will be super leprous, as white as snow, and then put your hand back in and it'll be fine. Those are things God says. Oh, and hey, and if that doesn't work, take some water out of the Nile, pour it on the ground, it'll turn into blood. And then what does Moses say after that? But I'm not an eloquent speaker. You know, what does God say to that? Who gave man a mouth? That's what God says. Now go, and I will help you speak, and will teach you what to say. That's what God says. And then how does Moses respond after that? I would be pretty darn convicted. Okay, yeah, you did make my mouth. Okay, I'll go speak. I'll go speak. And not only does God say, well, who made mouth? He says, well, who can make a man mute? Who can make a man deaf? Who can make a man blind? So I'd be like, okay, I get the point. But what does Moses say? Please send someone else to do it. That's what Moses says. Then God gets mad, but he says, fine, I'll let Aaron help you speak. Aaron will speak as well. You'll speak, but Aaron's going to speak too. Okay? Is that, wow, are you kidding me? Look how far Moses has come in 40 years. Look how far Moses has come. Moses became a godly man, surrendered to saying yes to God's plan, surrendered to saying God's way instead of saying no to God's way. You know, how is having a surrendered heart towards God, towards God's way, going for you right now? You know, are you surrendered to God's way?
Can I
You know, many of us have started a new life here in London. Coming to university for the first time, we have a lot of first-year students. Some people have moved here. I don't know who's moved here from other countries, but, you know, people have moved here from other countries. I have no idea who, but there's a lot of people have come here. That was a joke. That was a joke, guys. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know, you are here tonight hearing the Word of God, and what is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to surrender to? What can be some helpful things to help us grow in having a surrendered heart? I think one thing that really helps us grow in being surrendered and having a surrendered heart is surrendering our emotions. Okay? Surrendering our emotions. How often do we let our emotions dictate our choices and the way we process and do activities and make decisions in our day-to-day lives? How often is our emotions that do that? You know, in Exodus, we see Moses as a man where he's letting his emotions dictate his word and actions. We see that in Exodus 3 and 4, don't we, Heinrich? For sure. But here in Deuteronomy, we see a man who shares his emotions in Deuteronomy 3. And he's told what he needs to do. And instead of letting his emotions lead, he goes for it. And he's a man that stands in the breach. What are some good ways for us to have a heart where we surrender? Where we surrender our emotions. Maybe you're asking, why would I want to surrender my emotions? And emotions are good. Emotions for sure are good. That makes us who we are. Absolutely. So, but maybe, why would I want to surrender my emotions? Well, so that you can stand in the breach. Because maybe you don't want to stand in the breach. Because of your emotions. Like Hebrews 11, 26 and 27. Some characteristics that Moses has, looking ahead to the reward is one thing he says, and being able to see him who is invisible. Whenever you look at the final reward, it's a great motivator to surrender our emotions. I remember when I started postgraduate work, you know, it was a big task. It was a huge thing. 2 years, I had to do a thesis and hopefully get my thesis published in a scientific journal and all these things and get my name published in a journal, all this stuff. And I was like, what are you talking about? That's not me. I just want to go to school and get a degree and get my master's degree and then I'll go do something else. But the classes, they were way harder. The reading was way longer. I had to read like so many scientific articles. It was like 20 a week. And it's in scientific terms, and I'm like, what is this stuff? What is speak English, please? You know, they didn't keep us accountable. They expected us to just do the work. They expected us to be responsible. They expected me to be responsible for the work. They didn't say, oh, hey, by the way, remember that there's this coming up, and remember to turn your work in and stuff like this. You know. Not only on top of all this stuff, I was working every day with the football team at the university and every afternoon. So there goes 4 hours out of my day. Then I'm teaching an undergraduate class in first aid and CPR. So then I had to prepare my lessons for class. I had to dissect after hours for cadaver anatomy. I had a whole cadaver that I shared with 6 people, and I had to dissect every portion of it. Every single portion I had to dissect in a semester with 6 other people. And we did name it. Her name was Betty Sue. That was our cadaver's name. We wanted to have a personal relationship. But we had to go there after hours all the time. All the time we had to go after hours and dissect this cadaver. And it was the hardest class I've ever taken. Plus I was on the road a lot because I'm traveling with the football team. Okay? So I'm very busy, and oh hey, one last thing. At this time, I was also studying the Bible. Wow. Okay?
Wow, that's intense.
So, but I remember wanting to be emotional. Yeah. I remember wanting to be, this is too hard, this is too much. Mm-hmm. I can't do all this. How do I do all this? But I remember I was learning about the reward. Studying the Bible. I was learning about the reward, and I remember being excited. And I wanted to do everything the best I could, even though there was all this stuff going on. I studied the Bible. I became a disciple. And not only that, there's a lot of great victories. You know, I was part of the football team. I was a physio for the football team. And we were ranked second in the country for like a month. We were beating teams we shouldn't be beating. One of the goalkeeper, he was a disciple. He had like the best goals against average, like the lowest goals against average in the country. There's all these just really cool stories. And we were going on the road and we were meeting with other disciples in other places and having a great time. Just lots of great victories. And it was such a great time. And I remember thinking to myself, though, man, I want to stop doing all this stuff. I want to quit. All I want to do is go play Football Manager all night. That's all I want to do. Just let me go play Football Manager, which I actually did own. So not making that up. You know, but the cool thing was is not only were there all these cool, great stories with the football team and people were studying the Bible, but at the same time, I got an A in my cadaver anatomy class.
Nice one.
And I remember it was the hardest class. I remember sitting at my desk at home and studying. I had flashcards piled this big, trying to remember everything. But man, Dr. Swanson, we called him Swan Dog. He was a great teacher. But man, I learned so much. But it was so hard because I wanted to be emotional and I wanted to quit and I wanted to stop. And I was like, this is too much. Can I please just stop? But I didn't, because I remember just thinking of Jesus. And thinking of the reward. I remember in my cadaver anatomy, in the lab, with all the formaldehyde and how much it stunk and it had to be cold. It was like 50 degrees in there. And it's 80 degrees outside and I'm stuck in, which you guys don't understand at all. I don't know what that is. Sorry. But it was really, really nice outside and it was freezing inside the cadaver lab, right? And I remember just being, man, I just want to go outside. Why do I have to be in here? But what kept me in there was I remember being amazed by the human body, and just the creation, that God created this thing, and it was so amazing, and I just thought about how much, how special I am, like how I was built, and it just made me see the reward, it made me see Jesus, and it blew me away, but it kept me from making these emotional decisions where I just wanted to quit, and I just wanted to stop. So, you know, I look back, and I see my emotions were causing a gap. During this time, they wanted to direct me away from Jesus. They wanted me to direct me away from Him who is invisible, from Him and the reward. But I also realized by letting that happen, by letting my emotions, if they were to get in the way, then I would give Satan a foothold. You know, I'd give Satan a foothold. So, like Moses, are you growing in this heart of surrender? You know, are you growing in letting God's word lead your life instead of your emotions? You know, seeing the reward in Him who is invisible helps us have a surrendered heart and keeps us away from our emotions, taking over our lives, and helps us let the Word of God take over our lives, really. So I want to encourage you guys tonight, if Moses can grow in these areas from the ages of 80 to 120, then we for sure can do it as well. We can totally do it. We can grow in these areas. But by growing in this area of surrender, what results will you see? And that's my third point is, God will be with you. So let's go to Deuteronomy 31. As we continue to kind of look at Moses and his character. I love, he gives us such great, like, man, it's so encouraging. It inspires me. Man, I can grow. I can change. I can learn these things. I can learn from my mistakes. And I can do things differently. And so in Deuteronomy 31, starting in verse 1, we'll go ahead and read. Excuse me. Deuteronomy 31. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you, and you will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You know, I find it amazing at the end of Moses' life, he's saying many of the same things he's been saying for the last 40 years. Yeah. Many of the same things. And wouldn't you get tired of saying the same things for the last 40 years? I think it'd be pretty tiring. But here's some of the same things that Moses is saying. The Lord our God will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you. You will take possession of the land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. He will never leave you or forsake you. You know, I would be a really wealthy man if I got money for every time Moses said any of these things throughout the book of Deuteronomy. He says these things over and over and over again. But that's why I've been so amazed by Moses lately. As I've studied out Moses, it blows me away the type of man Moses was and how he represented God. You know, his faith to say those things over and over again, that takes a lot of faith. My thinking would be, wouldn't you by now, after 40 years, think that they don't get it and just stop saying it? But man, his faith to say the same things. How about his compassion? Moses had great compassion. Even after 40 years of all their unfaithfulness and all of Israel's sin, all they've done, he still cares enough to say what they need to hear and say what he needs to say. So that Israel, so they'll be encouraged because he wants them to get the promise. Even though he's not going to get it, he wants them to get it. That's a man of compassion. You know, his patience to say those things. Man, I don't think I would be able to keep a level head for 40 years and keep saying the same things. Especially, you know, for 40 years, say the same thing over and over and over again. I would have a hard time. I'd have a really hard time to keep that patience. But man, his patience is amazing. And then even think about his forgiveness. You know, Moses, he wasn't able to go into the promised land because of his sin and how he reacted to Israel's disobedience. But he doesn't blame them. No, he doesn't blame them. He actually forgives them. Because if he didn't forgive them, he wouldn't keep sharing these things over and over again. But he wants them. He wants them desperately, desperately. He wants them to have the promised land. And I even think of his selflessness. Moses was such a selfless man. Moses is able to deny what he wants. He's able to deny his emotions and surrender his emotions to God's plan in order to give Israel what God wants them to have. And think of all these things. Those are, man, for sure God was with him. Because he has all these great godly characteristics that we just went over. You know, I could go on and on. You know, but a heart surrendered helps us also surrender our emotions and lets God's word lead our lives. So where is God's word not leading your life? And where is it not leading your life? Be motivated by looking far ahead at the reward and also by willing to see him who is invisible. This will help us all. This will help us all. It'll help us so that we will be able to stand in the breach. We will be able to fill in that gap that is missing so that there will be a connection between God and us, or maybe God and a friend, or whoever it may be in our lives and what relationships we have. It will help us stand in the breach and represent God, and we will be able to represent God in amazing ways because of these things we're doing, because we're looking at the reward, because we're seeing the invisible God. And so God and his ways will simply be who we are. We won't even be thinking about it, because it'll simply be who we are. Because we continually repeat his word, because we continually surrender our lives and let our lives become his plan. And so we do those things, and we'll be like this, and we'll be like this because the church says what? Because the church says Jesus is Lord. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys.